Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 23rd, 122nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the executive director.
Yes.
Of the Humboldt Waste Management Authority.
Very good.
Jill Duffy.
Great to see you.
See, I remembered your name.
That was good.
And I remember where you were. The title thing is always.
That's all right. Titles are bad.
Goddess Jill Duffy.
Oh, that's really bad.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what spring means in the collection arena.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, it means a little bit more green stuff coming through.
A lot.
Yeah. So we'll talk about some of those things, some of their different challenges, and also there was a little event. Go ahead, you can shake it.
No, I don't want to make that much noise. People would be really upset if I went shaking keys in their in their speakers or their cars.
Oh, well, why don't you hand the keys to me?
Just no way.
Okay, fine. We'll be back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jill Duffy. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
Nothing is more difficult, and therefore more precious, than to be able to make decisions.
Hallelujah.
You know, as time has gone on, I've come to appreciate that that's actually something that's very difficult for many, many people, just simply making a decision.
Well, and organizations, too.
Well, not just organizations, but I think people in general, it's...
Well, you make a good decision.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
And sometimes you make bad decisions, and that's actually really important.
Smacked,
you know, well, I mean,
by many cultures, right. Rather than saying, "Okay, well, just don't do it next time."
Or some people, there was that old saying, you know, good decisions come from having made bad judgment, something equivalent to that.
I think I am practically perfect.
Try to avoid those. Actually,
out. Yeah. You guys had an event this weekend that. Is curious, I think, for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
Most in our audience
mm-hmm.
are probably on some form of medication or another.
Are you speaking about yourself?
Yeah, I got heart and I got cholesterol and I got blood pressure. I mean, I got the wonder triad
in the morning.
For me. Yeah. So okay, fine. I use them.
That's good.
When they're gone, I get more.
Uh-huh.
Just like the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of having meds sitting around.
Leftover?
Not being used, mm-hmm. to me, is just kind of a really intriguing concept. Now, I haven't done a lot of hospital time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's your 20 painkillers. Now go home. Mm-hmm. Use them as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's part of it. But if I don't need them, why am I going to have them hanging around? I mean, just space as an issue. Not that I'm a good guy or a bad guy or anything, but just the space. Why would you want to have more garbage glunk?
Clutter, I think, is what
you're... Yeah, that's right. You're a garbage girl, so I can't do that.
Yeah, no.
Clutter around.
Right.
That I'm not going to use because it was specific to that one event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jet it off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and talking to some who are high school, college age...
Mm-hmm.
Raiding mom and dad's medicine cabinet is now more in fashion than raiding the liquor cabinet. How weird is that?
It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah. So is that kind of the premise behind you guys doing a reach out for spent meds or unused?
The pharmaceutical collection.
Well, now that sounds like you're collecting and putting it on the wall and going to pay... Have people pay to come in and see the
collection.
Well,
you know, it's kind of wild when you talk about the event that was held last week. Over 10,000 individual tablets of narcotics were collected. You know, theoretically, with all those colors, you could probably stick it up on a wall and create some sort of a
little Monet
collage of some sort. But actually, with respect to the collection of medications, and I agree with you. I think that when most people are taking their medication as they need to be, you are actually using it for the intended prescription. Purpose, but I've gone to the dentist, I've had some work done, and sometimes maybe there's a lot of swelling or whatever, here's some, pain medications, and I think in large, most people don't end up actually using all of it. And there's all sorts of reasons why there may be spent medication over time. Maybe you're taking an antibiotic and it's just not, the effective, level of a treatment for whatever the infection is that you have. So they put you on something new and you set aside the old ones. I think there's a lot of different, ways that people do find themselves. What? Why are you laughing?
If I do that, I have to throw those bad boys away. Otherwise, I'm going to get confused and I'll start nailing the wrong one.
Yeah.
Because the containers kind of look the same.
Oh,
the
numbers. You can't read them anymore.
Knock it off. Not fair.
It's just now starting to happen to me. It's all okay. But, for whatever reason, I think for a long time, the conventional wisdom, if you were to ask your pharmacist or your doctor, what do I do with my old medications? They would say, just pour it down the drain, just let it go down the sink or, pour it down the toilet. And your wastewater treatment plants, they've got new water quality standards that they have to meet for discharge. And so they're encouraging people to not get it into our water, which will eventually end up in the waterway, or you could go ahead and throw it out in your garbage. But again, it ends up in a landfill. And so the alternative is simply diverting. The event for last weekend was actually really pretty neat because this was an event that was organized by a young woman who was a senior at Eureka High School. And she was absolutely just amazing, both in terms of her composition and her knowledge and the energy, and ultimately moving forward with pulling together all the different resources to help coordinate this event. And it came together in a pretty short time. And, undertaking a pharmaceutical collection, which HWMA was really happy to participate in, is also not as simple, believe it or not, as doing, let's say, a hazardous waste collection event. That sounds kind of contradictory, except that we actually have
There's
to
not
have...
much of a secondary market for
Well, there's not,
paint.
But we actually have to have law enforcement standing by. And so we have to have an officer who is then taking in all that medication and logging it in under chain of custody. And isn't that crazy? But that is part of what is required because we are working with different medications and you have to have licensed personnel and they are narcotics that are available. So you have to make sure that it's all being collected, not finding its way out the back door somehow.
Called a fundraising event. Not a collection.
Oh, that's good. We'll keep that in mind. This girl and this class, they organized and they generated in just a tremendous amount of traffic for our community.
Drug traffic. Great. We'll talk about that too when we come back. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jill Duffy. Jill, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the event that happened over the weekend that was coordinated and orchestrated by a high school senior.
By a high school senior.
The fact that the ability was there.
Yeah.
That you worked with, and there was that flexibility, and the cops worked with somebody who most are probably thinking would be of the age of using rather than trying to stop the using, is somehow kind of cool that she was treated as a person.
Well.
Rather than as a high school student or as a kid or as a youngster. And no, we really need to have the professional parents come in and take care of this one. Good idea, lass. Pat on the head and, you know, push to the side.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting observation, and I guess I've never been somebody who's ever, you know, looked at things like that.
You don't tend to fit that mold.
I mean, and it's funny that you would say that, because the phrase that comes in my head is, you know, age appropriate. And, you know, the entire time my boy was growing up, it was always age appropriate conversations. And, you know, and in the course of, as you're getting older, then there's this, you know, understanding that you're going to be, you know, exercising more independence and more responsibility. And how are you going to do it unless you're given the opportunity to demonstrate your abilities? Because the reality is that don't turn 18 years old and suddenly have everything in place. So, you know, some folks who are going to say
28,
under 18,
38, 48, take your pick. Yeah.
But there is kind of this expectation that if you're under 18, you can't be making decisions and you can't be doing these sorts of things. But the reality is these kids are actually quite capable.
So how did this, did they come to you and say, we wanna?
Yeah, yeah.
Or we think there is? Do you know if there's a need for?
The concept came through this young woman, and her mom was able to make
name.
The initial. I can.
Okay.
Sadie Evans. And there were a number of other folks that she worked with in terms of other students who I wish I had their names, because I think that they all deserve, you know, a strong acknowledgement, in addition to, you know, Eureka High School administration helping to make sure that all of the stuff came together in a short time. And I was actually a little bit more concerned about the administration of, you know, Eureka High School. How are they going to feel about an event like this being held at their facilities? But they came together phenomenally well. And the EPD officer who picked this up, and actually we had somebody else that was scheduled who was unable to, through some sort of a scheduling commitment, was unable to be available. And Brittany Kesterson stepped up on, I believe it was a Thursday prior to that Saturday event. So she spent all day out there helping to log in all of the material. But I will tell you that, you know, when you think about this in terms of, think about that little, you know, blood pressure medication that you've got, little tiny pill. For just pills, we got 190 pounds of just the pills. And in terms of like liquids, like, you know, let's say cough syrups, or not cough syrups, but some, you know, any sort of the medications that you would get. I don't take enough medications, apparently.
Liquid, yeah, I know. NyQuil?
Yeah.
No, that's
something, you know, whatever. Maybe
there must be some,
some
syrups.
Sort of syrup of, you know, antibiotics, you know, for kids or something. But 150 pounds for liquids. There was 15 pounds of narcotics.
Now, what is a narcotic?
Say Vicodin or, you know, Percocet or something like that.
The big boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, codeine. And then aerosols, 7.5 pounds. And so there were about 178 people that came in from around our community, you know, primarily out of the Eureka area. But we had people coming as far as Fortuna, Hydesville, and Blue Lake, Willow Creek, and some of the other areas. So it was a really incredibly successful event. And we're really pleased to have been able to work with Sadie as well as Eureka High School. And it is kind of amazing when you think about how much is able to come in through that one event. I mean, we're talking 178 attendees coming in. And, you know, being able to collect that material so it's not being thrown in the garbage, it's not, you know, going downstream, and it's not being raided out of the cabinet for somebody else's, you know, use.
As you look at that, knowing that it's just a percentage.
Yeah. I wouldn't even hazard to guess what that percentage is.
Is this something that needs to go on every 6 months, every year, different locations throughout the county mm-hmm. trying to do, make it easier for people to do
the right thing.
What they would probably do if they thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
who wants their grandbaby, you know, poking around inside the medicine cabinet and getting something that was designed for us?
Right, right.
That's not a comfortable thing at all. So I can see the non-abusive side being the prevalent side rather right. than those that are using this for
right.
whatever it is that they use
yeah,
it for.
Yeah, avoiding any sort of, you know, accidental...
Yeah.
Intake or overdose or,
yeah, the
or
poisoning.
Any of those things. I mean, yeah. Well, and you know, we do see a number of folks that will come in, you know, just walking in through the office. It's happened to me. I've only been there for a short time, but I've seen it happen enough where you've got the you know, the plastic bag full of these, you know, pills, and basically a parent or some other family member has passed away, and in the course of
grandma or grandpa's,
you know, taking care of
stuff.
Cleaning up
yeah.
the house, and what do they do with it? So they do bring it down with them, so they come walking in with their baggie, and who do I give this to? It's like, oh, we'll get this taken care of.
Even in that situation, the you have to document who has it,
we
where it's
to,
passed
yeah,
through.
We do need to.
So you got to get a cop down, or can you log it and total it, and then they come back?
We log it, and then we okay. ship them all out. And so, yeah, it's all, you know, we prefer to, you know, continue working through these events because they are coordinated, and we're able to, you know, activate the manpower.
You're geared up
so,
for it.
Yeah. I mean, so your question about whether or not we're going to have events.
Will have to
yes.
be delayed. Okay, well, you yes. snuck it in. Fine. It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Duffy, who's in charge of... You are in charge still, right?
Say that again?
Are you in charge?
I'm in charge.
Okay.
For the moment.
Of the Humble Waste Management Authority. They haven't rolled the desk outside yet along with the chair on your nameplate. Okay, that's good. Joe, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the need for this kind of event. And I'm sure pills aren't the only thing.
They are not the only thing.
Is it, we just kind of get a little lackadaisical about some of these various items we have around the house, or maybe when we were growing up, yeah, okay, you know, the paint's the paint, and you use it till it's gone, and then you throw the can away, no mm-hmm. big deal, and some people, I guess, don't do it that. Is it just human nature that we have some of these things, or is it that we're not thinking about some of this stuff?
I think it's probably more about, you know, not thinking about some of it. I mean, it's two, I think it's a generational issue. You know, think about the number of products that we had and how they were typically going to be, let's say, handled up through about the 1940s, about 1945, 46.
I may
people
look that old.
Used, but right? But,
oh, I mean, yeah, you use your product, you used it up.
You purchased something and you used it, and yeah. you know, you incorporated it into other things as necessary. You know,
it's like Beats.
But at the point that we started becoming more mass consumers, you know, people were also consuming and disposing of more. And when the HWMA facility was constructed and expanded about 2000, you know, the mindset then was very simple. Bring the garbage in on the trucks or self-haul in your pickup truck, dump it onto the floor, push it up into a corner, load it in a truck, and ship it 180 miles to a landfill. End of story. There wasn't a whole lot of thought around, you know, can we recover or, you know, pull some more recyclable materials as a salvage or, you know, divert these things. It was simply push it in, load it in a truck, get it out of here.
And that was state of the industry.
That was absolutely normal. It was absolutely normal. And certainly what you're seeing, really mid-1990s was, oh, we're beginning to have some landfill capacity issues, and we need to be working, and this was the state speaking, working to reduce the total amount of materials that are being landfilled because of the amount of material that was coming in that was recyclable. So any of your aluminum and your glass and, you know, CRBs.
Well, aluminum wasn't being thrown away, was
it? Well, a lot of people were still throwing it away, and I'll bet if you were to go out into some people's garbage, they're still throwing away their, you know, Pepsi cans or whatever.
I can remember the can. I'm not really keen on rinsing the can.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
I used to stomp on it, and, you know, we have bags, and that's, mm-hmm. you take it down once a quarter or whatever.
And get your
Dad
CRB.
Got bird seed, and I think I got baseball cards.
Oh, you know there you go.
But it was pretty straightforward, pretty simple.
Right. So when the recycling
but that was
movement,
at the time when Don't Litter
right.
started.
So you started
to
seeing
happen.
The whole recycling movement in the early 1970s, and it was, you know, so remember the Boy Scouts used to go around and collect your newspapers?
No, oh, yeah.
Remember the newspaper drives?
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm beginning to date myself. And so at any rate, as time has gone on, there's, you know, it's identified that there's more and more opportunities to divert materials that could be either reused or, you know, recycled. And, you know, in our particular case, we are shipping our waste 180 miles. And when you think about, you're bringing your garbage in, it's going to get loaded into a truck, and that truck gets 4.5 you know, miles to the gallon, we are, was pretty expensive. So there's a real incentive for us to be figuring out how can we divert materials that could be either recycled or reused.
I think a lot of folks still kind of wonder, why don't we have a dump here? And we had the Table Bluff site for a long time.
Yes, and we also had Cummings Road Landfill.
And then we had, Mitchell,
Road.
Mitchell Heights.
Oh.
Okay.
That's where Cummings Road Landfill is.
Yeah, I know. Trying to use normal references.
Many people have forgotten about it.
Yeah. Was it just too tough to do another one? Is that what kind of started locally?
Yeah.
This concept of getting it out, doing the recycling, harvesting, or finding, you know, little goodies that you can cut things out before the state came down with its edict.
Right.
Thou shalt.
Well, actually, it actually began in the 1970s through some federal edicts, if you will. There were changes in standards for municipal landfills. You know, and that said, they were really looking at some of the really big boys, if you will. A lot of landfills at one time, in Cummings Road included, that one was actually established in about the 1930s. You know, Table Bluff.
Oh, really?
It's been there for
quite a while. That predated.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's wild.
So, you know, when you think about if you were to go forward and develop a landfill now, you'd have to have, you know, liners and all sorts of protections to protect the surrounding environment.
Yeah, encase everything.
Yeah, encase everything, you know, minimize any sort of leachate as a result of, you know, rainwater falling through and percolating through. So it actually began in the 1970s. And, you know, in the 1980s, it was identified that the landfill up at Cummings Road did have a limited capacity. And so it was a matter of, where do we go from here? And you'll remember, and I have a vague recollection because I remember there were a lot of headlines in the paper. There were a lot of hot and heated conversations at the various city councils about what are we going to do with our garbage? And, you know, the debate began whether we just close Cummings Road, you know, just continue to put it in there, or do we open up some other valley somewhere here in the North Coast? Do we ship it out of town? Do we rail it out of town?
Trains,
do we
yeah,
truck
yeah,
out of town?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of conversations, and it was very heated and very controversial at that time. The decision was made, move forward with closing Cummings Road Landfill and truck the waste over to either Anderson or Dry Creek, which is located up in Oregon. And we're, you know, moving forward now with the closure of the landfill. So even though that landfill has not accepted any material since about 1998, we are still maintaining it. We are still having to conduct monitoring. We just did the CAP. So we've brought in and we've closed phase one of the landfill. And we'll be moving forward in the next, you know, couple of years with closure for phase two. And even after closure, we are still obligated to monitor it for another 30 years. And so it's, you know, opening up a landfill is not going to be for the faint of heart. It's going to take a significant amount of, energy and resources to
make that happen. Didn't they used to have, you're going to love this one, fire?
fire.
Didn't they burn had off a lot of...
Yeah,
or some of the
there
stuff?
Was actually open burning that was up there, and they also had an incinerator that operated for about 9 years.
Okay, yeah. So
I was going back into
you're shaking some things loose here on me. Okay, quick, break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Joe Duffy.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jill Duffy. Jill, so it's a pretty successful program. As we're looking at, with the pill redemption and turning, as we're looking at springtime,
mm-hmm.
obviously there's a lot of branches now that are starting to sprout these things called leaves. There's grasses that are starting to poke up. What is the rule of thumb for landscape materials? Is there a cost? Is there a fee? Is it a different rate? what would you say around that?
Oh, boy. You're going to hate this answer.
It depends. Okay.
It does. And part of it depends on, you know, where the listener actually, you know, resides. So if you're an Arcata resident, there is the green waste, you know, collection. And that is actually a free service because you are actually already, it's already incorporated in the cost of your bill. In Eureka, I think that there are some areas, and Recology is now, you know, working forward to the development of some blue bags in which we can, you know,
they've got some different
but
containers
not,
too,
and they're not ready to go yet. So it's so when you're kind of asking me, I'm like, yeah, it really does kind of depend.
Okay.
But if you've got a truckload, a truck and trailer load of green waste that you want to bring down, absolutely, we can take it down at the Hawthorne Street facility, and that material then goes over to the Mad River Compost. We have a
you don't chip it or
well, they do.
Oh, okay.
So we actually have
eventually they will
do all the processing and do the composting of that material. And so all of that green material is able to come in and be processed for ultimately some sort of, you know, soil amendment. So we do have that service that's available. So again, it's a material that's used to be put into the back of the truck and hauled over the hill. So now
or burned in the slash pile.
Or burned, you know, once upon a time used to be able to take it to, you know, some of the power facilities when they were looking for that. And some of them are still in operation also, and so they are picking up their wood waste. So there's a number of places where folks are able to take their green waste and have it disposed of. And preference is not to drop it over the side of the hill. We really discourage people dropping things over the side of the hill. We really don't like it.
Even if it was like lawn clippings and things like that?
Yeah. You know, it's going into somebody's property,
well,
right?
Well, I'm glad you didn't know me when I was younger then.
Well, I mean, there's always kind of a, you know, I mean, because usually if it starts with one thing, eventually you're going to end up with garbage over the side of the hill, too, as soon as it starts looking
like
a turnout where people are able to drop their stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we had one, it was across the street, and it was just lawn.
Well, I think some neighborhoods end up developing kind of those little informal kind of composting, you know, places, and if that works for you, the neighborhood, fantastic. But if you're actually hauling it somewhere,
compost, that would mean that you're getting it out also, right?
I don't know. Would it? I mean, I've got a...
Not for us, it wasn't.
Yeah, I've got a huge compost pile, but that's usually because of my horse. So what can I tell you?
Okay, so you're not looking for additions at the... Leave it at the bottom of the hill? Put your name in the middle of it? This is for Jill?
Right.
Yeah, okay,
right.
Fine. Spoil sport.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, it was great to see you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Jill Duffy. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.